Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Digital Adele Hoops Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. Haven't seen you in a while, Matt. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. We're in the dog days of summer.
You know,
each day goes slower than the last, but I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good about yourself.
We really are in the dog days of summer, man. It's one of these times where there is zero basketball going on. There isn't any tape to break down. You could break down FIBA, Eurobasket. I mean, I don't know why you would do such a thing, but you can. I mean, it's good for the players. I mean, sometimes the players can get a lot out of it, but more importantly, us as a fan base and us as analysts, we're not going to be able to take much away from it. And that's all that matters. But anyway, are you excited to talk Brooklyn Nets NBA draft picks and rookies only?
Should I say yes? I'll say yes for the people.
Yes for the people, Matt.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm excited. I haven't podcasted in a while. Actually, that's not true. I did a podcast with Ethan on 5 Reasons Sports on the state of the Miami Heat for the 2025 season. So I did sneak one podcast in there, but I haven't talked to this audience in a while. So I'm excited to talk to y'all about the Brooklyn Nets and their 2025 NBA draft picks, which they did have 75. Mm-hmm. I keep changing the number. It's kind of like Ace Bailey's height during our draft evaluation.
Depending on how we feel about it, the number goes up and down.
That's right. I caught myself. I almost said I've been trying really hard behind the scenes to eliminate those umps. But one thing that I want to stress is in this rookies only segment, we are going to get down to the nitty gritty of exactly how we felt this draft process went for Brooklyn. They ended up with 5 draft picks, one via a trade. They traded their 36th pick, I believe, to pick up the 22nd overall pick, which was Drake Powell. But this is the order it went in. 6'8 forward /guard from BYU, Jaeger Domin, or Domin, as I've been learned it's pronounced.
Which one is correct, which one isn't.
Do you speak Russian, Matt?
No.
Neither do I, so I have no clue.
If anyone speaks Russian in the audience, feel free to correct.
Niet. Nolan Traore, the 19th overall pick, guard from France. En français. And number 26 pick, Ben Saraf, guard. There's a theme here. From Rishoparlem Ulm. He's from Israel. So Saraf sounds correct. But I don't speak whatever language they speak in Israel. Danny Wolf. He's Jewish. I know that. He played at Michigan. And I think that's in the United States, Matt.
Yeah.
Oh.
Can confirm.
Can confirm. Okay. He's also a forward slash guard, in my opinion, or a center slash guard. He's not. He's a ball handler. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Adu Thoreau's who got traded for Drake Powell. So that's the draft. What did you think of that draft by the Brooklyn Nets overall? The macro view, not the micro.
It's just so weird to me, one, that they used all five of their first-round picks. I've talked about this in other spaces before, but when you use all five of your first-round picks or just really have five picks in a draft, their clock starts at the same time. And so in this case, since they have five first-round picks, they have five players on rookie-scale contracts, all of those clocks start at the same time. Now, while the Brooklyn Nets have been a team and will be a team that will have plenty of cap space, they still have to, you know, at some point, they're going to have to consolidate, you know, at some point, like, especially with this class. Because, I mean, I don't think the development is – I mean, Jordy Fernandez did a great job last year, but I just don't think the roster is constructed well enough to, you know, develop all five of these guys. Right. And obviously, you know, not all growth is linear, and so some of these guys may not develop as quickly as others. But it's just a weird process to use – five first round picks, and then when you know zoom in a little bit more, it's like, okay, you drafted four players with similar skill sets, a couple players with similar archetypes, like, you know, Danny Wolf and Jaeger Demi, like, they're both like very big ball handlers. Obviously, you know, Danny Wolf was more of a center, Jaeger was more of a guard at BYU, and then Nolan Torreira, who played point guard overseas, Ben Saraf, who played point guard overseas, like, they're all ball handlers. They all kind of need the ball in their hands to be effective. And then the Drake Powell piece of this is, while Drake Powell wasn't a bad three-point shooter, he wasn't a great three-point shooter, and his usage was so ridiculously low at UNC. So it's like he's still very raw in his offensive capabilities with, like, the ball handling stuff. He's super athletic, can finish well in transition, you know, excellent in the open floor, very disruptive. Even if the numbers don't always suggest it, like, he has the length, he has the multi-positional versatility defensively, or at least that's what you think his ceiling can be. But then just when offensively, like, his usage is so low, or at least it was super low. You really don't know what you have in him yet. And, like, I just, again, like, the Troyari, the Saraf, both were poor three-point shooters. Jaeger was, I mean, we'll talk about it in a little bit, he was a poor three-point shooter at BYU. Danny Wolf is solid. Like, it wasn't great. It wasn't
great, spectacular. No.
But he was okay. Like, he's probably the best of the bunch, and he was still in, like, the mid-30s. Even though, you know, his skill set is tantalizing in and of itself, that was, like, a question or a weakness of his. Right. So it's just a really weird class because it feels like so many players, while they're different sizes and whatnot, it's just a duplicitous skill set. Like, they're drafting the same
Absolutely.
Guy. Like, they were a team that we talked about in the pre-draft process that needed ball handlers. Well, guess what? You just drafted four of them. Now you have an overabundance of ball handlers, and I don't know how it's exactly going to fit in the future. I just don't.
And so I'm going to play devil's advocate and take the other side of this. I agree with you overall. Starting, you know, having to pay all these guys at the exact same time is going to be an issue, but it'd be a good problem to have. Sure. Because if you can't pay one of them and you could flip them for a better asset at some point, you know, for more assets and to continue to stockpile assets, that's kind of the way to go in the modern NBA with the CBA where you can only have two max guys. So if you can get two max guys out of this, which I don't see two max guys out of this class for them, then you're doing something right. But I want to caution this. We talk about a duplicitous skill set in today's NBA. You need guys that can ball handle at every position nowadays. You need guys that are going to be able to be switchable defenders. Mm-hmm. You're going to need guys that are going to be able to get to the basket, facilitate for others, hit open shots, and make threes. Mm-hmm. So if that stuff is all duplicitous, it's fine. The issue is not all of them can be on the floor at the same time together.
Correct.
So, like, Danny Wolf can be on the floor with all of them. He's 7'250". He can handle the ball. He can, you know, facilitate. He can hit threes a little bit. He can take it to the basket, block shots, switchable defensively. But Nolan Torreira and Ben Saraf, for example, can they share the floor together?
No.
No.
Unless if one of the only way that one of them can share the floor with each other, like, is if I think if Saraf takes a big leap defensively, like he was already like a solid physical point of attack defender internationally.
Right.
Like if he takes another leap or two there, then you could talk yourselves into it. But you also have to factor in like one of them has to be a more effective off ball player.
Absolutely.
And an off ball shooter.
Yes.
And so like it, whether it's Traore, whether it's Saraf, it has to be one of the two, but like the only way that I could talk myself into it is if Saraf is just like this super disruptive physical point of attack defender. And I think while I like his defensive chops, it's obviously going to take time.
Absolutely. So and I don't think he's an elite defender. And I don't think he's an elite defender.
Me neither.
Nolan Traore, I get in my mentions all the time. I get killed up and down because they swear he's a scorer. He's not. He may have been able to score at lower levels of the international game because he was so talented and quick at that level. But as he went up a level, his scoring was okay. But he's not finishing at the rim on people in the league. That's not going to be his strength. Jaeger Demeen, that's not his Domen Demeen, however you want to pronounce it, that's not going to be his strength either. So you have a really clunky fit. Now, before I get into all that, I'm going to stay in the macro and go over my big board real quick. I do think they had a very good draft in a sense.
Yeah.
And here's the sense. I had Saraf 14th overall on my big board. I had Traore 15th overall on my big board. And they got these guys respectively 19th and 26th. So that's good positional value for where they got them in the draft, according to how I value those players as far as my evaluation went of them. And then Danny Wolfe was 16th on my big board, and he went 27th. So again, terrific positional value. Now here's where it goes from being a good draft for them as far as positional value to making it just okay. They took Jaeger Domen 8th overall. I had him 23rd on my big board. They took Drake Powell 22nd. He was 33rd on my big board. And they traded to get him. I feel like there were players that could have fit that roster up and down the scale of where they picked, that they could have gotten better positional values for those guys. What did you think of the overall value of what they got for their picks?
I'm trying to pull up my big board now. It's not loading for me, but I did have...
Because Fanspo hates you, Matt.
Yeah. Saraf, I had the highest of all of them, and he was their last pick, which is kind of funny. At least right. I think I had him the highest. I also had Danny Wolf within my top 17, top 18. Right. I want to say it's Saraf like 12 or 13, if I can remember correctly.
Yeah.
Traore was like middle of the pack for me. I had Drake Powell, I want to say in the 30s, and I had Jaeger in the like mid to late 20s. Again, I'm saying this all from memory, so I might be a little bit off. Because I
hold his feet to the fire, people.
Yeah, hold my feet to. I thought the Jaeger one was weird because again, like just a top eight, like he was more of a guy again. People who have listened to this show know how we feel about him, but it was more of like you love him or you hate him type deal. That was right. Kind of like if you went around the internet and parsed through how different people felt about him, then you could kind of get that gathering. And Brooklyn loved him, so they took him 8, which
I think they're gonna regret that one. I do.
Me too, but we're not the Brooklyn Nets, so who knows what will actually happen.
Of course, we wouldn't have drafted Noah Clowney the previous year either, but here we are.
Yeah, I just – so our previous criticisms aren't because of the players, at least for me. It's more of the fit of it all together.
Kind of was the player for me and the fit.
Like, well, no, I'm just talking about the scope of the entire draft. for.
Oh, this particular draft. I got you. Correct.
Brooklyn. Yeah.
Like, yes, it's the fit with these guys. That's correct. Yeah,
it's the fit with these guys. Like, again, we wouldn't have taken Jaeger at 8, but like Saraf and Danny Wolf, where they got him, was awesome. Like, it's not
exactly,
but it's the fit of all of them together. Like, if you just take the, if you take certain pieces out of it, and we would have loved.
Right.
It.
If you put a different player at 8, it could completely change my outlook on the draft for them, for sure.
If you get rid of all of the bad eggs, we had a ton of good eggs.
That's right. All my tests that were bad, just throw them out, man. My scores in high school and college would have been amazing.
Right, yeah. If you take out all the bad numbers, I would have averaged 30 points.
That's right.
No, it's just a weird draft. It's weird from multiple different angles.
Yeah.
It could play out completely differently. Like, we can come back and look at this 3 years from now and be like, we were wrong about X, or we were wrong about Y.
We've been wrong before.
Yes.
As has every human that's ever lived, but that's true. We could also be right, which we've been right before.
Correct. You more often than me, but
oh, Matt, so don't sell yourself short. But let's talk about some of the numbers, shall we? So we know Summer League isn't the end all be all. We know it isn't the greatest competition night after night. But Danny Wolf, we'll start there. I was really high on Danny Wolf in the pre-draft process. I really think he fits the modern NBA game well. 7'2", 250 with his skill set. Mm-hmm. Now, it's super early in the process. He didn't particularly shine in Summer League. 36.4% from the field, 33.3% from three. Kind of what we thought he was going to do. Got to the free throw line about 4 times per game. But he rebounded, 7.3 rebounds per game, 2.7 assists per game, 1 steal, 2 blocks. This is in 3 games of action. What did you think of Danny Wolf's play overall in the Summer League? If you can remember, it was a while ago.
I'm trying to wait. What were the percentages that you had?
36.4% from three, or from the field, and 33.3% from three. This is from NBA.com's 2026 Summer League stats.
Wow. Okay. Real Jim has.
They probably have the California Classic in there as well.
They weren't in the California Classic.
Oh, then I don't know what Real GM is doing.
No, anyways, the semantics aside, I liked what I saw from Danny. Like, I think the thing that I was most impressed with, and one of the reasons why I loved watching him so much, was just the live dribble playmaking.
Right.
He only averaged, 3 dimes per game. So I don't think that does him full justice, but like some of the live dribble reads and the live dribble playmaking, like, you, again, that was already there. That wasn't, that wasn't like a new feature of his. That wasn't something that just came out of nowhere. We saw that throughout the entire pre-draft process, but
absolutely see
that type of environment with due to who he's barely played with, was an awesome sign. Real Jim has him at 40% from three. Again, I don't know how accurate or inaccurate that is, but
I think we should trust NBA.com. More than Real GM, right?
Well, they also have 3 games. So anyway, I didn't think he, like, just from what I saw, I don't think he shot the ball poorly. I'm still very interested to see how that translates, though.
Right.
Just because it's like, he wasn't a great free throw shooter at Michigan.
Well, you talk about a swing skill.
Right, it's a swing skill. It
changes his trajectory completely if he can be a 40% three-point shooter.
Yeah, like, I think he's going to need to finish better around the rim, right. Finish better through contact. He's got such a big body. Like, I don't know why that was a struggle for him at certain points.
Well, I kind of spoke about that because he finished through contact very well with his back to the basket as a traditional center. What I felt happened a lot of times was that he wasn't used in his previous college experiences as a ball handling center. And I think when he got to Michigan and they allowed him to do that, he thrived in it, but it was still newish to him. So he's still learning how to do that and to finish off the dribble through contact. Like, It's a different thing to do it with your back to the basket on jump hooks and drop steps. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
So Danny Wolf, I liked. I agree with everything you said. And one thing I think, too, when he has a specific role and they kind of design things in a way to take advantage of his unique ability, I think he'll shine even more. That's my take on it. Because like you said, his facilitating, live dribble reads, his ability to find his teammates when he gets doubled. Because when you're 7 foot and you start rumbling to the basket, you're going to draw some bodies.
Right.
So I think he's going to be even more effective as the season goes on. So next, the person that I would like to talk about, because frankly, I sorted the names in alphabetical order, and now I kind of want to go backwards because I passed them up. That's Ben Saraf. So since I already passed them up, we're going to talk about Ben Saraf. And he's on the first page. Cool. You sort alphabetically. He averaged 30.4% from the field and a whopping 0% from three.
Yep.
He did facilitate. He did have what, like, two? No, is that his turnovers? Let me see. Let me make sure this is lined up.
Yeah, 3.7 assists.
The one thing I don't like about NBA.com, they don't have a static window pane at the top of their stats list. So when you scroll down, you can see what column you're in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's irritating. But anyway, 3.7 assists per game, 2.7 turnovers per game, one steal.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
0.3 blocks. I thought he did a good job getting to the free throw line, creating contact. He had averaged 4 free throws a game, 4.3 free throws a game. Finishing's going to have to be better, for sure, around the rim. That was one of the things we talked about ad nauseum throughout the pre-draft process, is that he's got to be more physical. He's very finesse. He draws a lot of contact, but he doesn't like contact. There's kind of a difference between the two. But he still showed, even at this next level, that he can get to the basket whenever he wants. That's my biggest takeaway from Saraf. And I thought he looked good defensively as well. What did you see from him?
That's what I was going to add, is like, even though the shot wasn't falling, he didn't hit a single three shot, you know, sub 35%, whatever it was. He didn't let that affect his defense.
Nope.
And that's something that, you know, you want to see from these guys, you know. Because, again, when you're in Vegas, when you're in this type of environment, everyone's trying to get theirs. Like, you know, not everything's going to go your way all the time. He didn't let that affect his overall play. I didn't think the playmaking was all that bad. There, you know, it was hit and miss. But I think defensively was where I was most encouraged. Obviously, I want to see him shoot the ball more efficiently. Pull-up jump shooting, spot-up shooting. Free throw shooting, all of those areas that
his
I want.
Shooting period's a project, though. That's going to take a year plus.
But again, like, that's what I want to see more of in the future. But just from what I saw in terms of like him defensively, as a playmaker, again, like the positional size, I think stood out.
Oh, yeah.
But those were the things that I was most encouraged by.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think with these guys, it's going to take some time. And because they all need to handle the ball, not all of them are going to pop in this type of environment when they're on the floor with so many people that need the basketball as well. Mm-hmm. We've already talked a lot about Jaeger. So I think we should just skip him for our purposes because we've already talked a lot about him. Let's go to Nolan Torreira, if we may. There we go. Just scroll down here in my list. Where he is? No, there's another Nolan. Nolan Hickman. But Nolan Torreira, 30.4% from the field, 14.3% from three. There's a theme here with this draft class. And that's their three-point shooting. Still not good. And we kind of told you that throughout the entire pre-draft process. He did hit his 2.7 free throws per game. So he shot 87.5% from three. 3.3 assists, 2.7 assists. No, are those rebounds? 3.3 rebounds, 2.7 assists, 2.3 turnovers per game. Didn't get a steal. How do you not, as a guard, get one steal in three games? Like, the ball doesn't, like, roll to you.
Bounce your way a little bit.
Doesn't bounce your way once. I knew he wasn't going to get a block. Hit no blocks. But not even a half a steal? Like, wild times. But he's also not a defender, and we knew that also. Caught myself again. I almost didn't know. The one thing I want to say about Nolan Torreira is he looked small. Like 175 pounds was noticeable. That's a little guy. Offensively, getting to the rim, finishing around the rim, not going to be great at 175 pounds. Defensively, not going to be great at 175 pounds. I mean, he's quick, but when you look at Saraf, Saraf is just as quick. Like, he gets wherever he wants.
I mean, he can, but no, I think Troyer is, he's got a quicker first step.
I would say he's a little bit quicker, but at 175 pounds compared to 6'6 to 200.
Yeah.
To be expected.
Yeah.
To be expected. And he's going to have to learn to change speeds better. He's going to have to change speeds a lot more to be even more effective. Hmm. One thing I like about Saraf, and this is why I had Saraf higher than him, is he changes speeds really well. He'll go from standing to like hesitating, cross you over and gone in a split second. Troy is a little more smooth, a little less herky jerky. And he's going to have to learn to change speeds a little bit better. But again, he's going to have to shoot the three ball way better. Like if he's going to be on the floor, he's going to have to really shoot the ball better. And I know whenever we say small, people are like, but he's 6'3". 6'3 is not small. Look at Steph Curry.
Steph Curry's not
175 pounds.
It's not the height.
And he's the GOAT of 3-point shooting.
Right, yeah. Yeah, he's also the greatest shooter ever.
Correct.
Troyer was a bad shooter.
Correct.
In summer league and internationals.
But he scored 41 points in a U16 game.
That's cool. He looked small. You kind of hit on all the stuff that I was going to be like. He looked really small. I like the quickness, some of the burst that he had, but again, like.
Right. Better burst, Troy or Donovan Dent?
It's going to be difficult for him to finish around the rim right away, at least consistently. And if he can't shoot, playmaking was fine, but.
It was okay. Yeah. But you're going to have to do better playmaking than three assists a game to stay on the floor at 175 pounds.
Yep.
Three-point shooting.
This was my problem with him. This was my problem with him, which is why I had him, I want to say, like in the late teens.
Right.
Something like that. I don't, again, Fanspo still is loading for me, so I just kind of give it up at this point. But
yeah, I had him 15. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's going to be difficult to justify.
I had him 20.
You had him lower than me. And so it's going to be hard for them to justify playing him over some of these other guys like Saraf and Danny Wolf, and even maybe, I mean, especially Domann. I mean, you picked him eighth. He's going to play. He's going to be on the floor. Let's look at this roster construction fit real quick. I know we've been going for a little bit, almost 30 minutes now, but we're going to wrap it up after we look at how this fits. So if you look at the Brooklyn roster, let me see if I can pull that up real quick. I had it pulled up. I don't know what I did with it. For some reason, now I have two windows pulled up with the stats. I'm like, wait, oh, here we go. Under contract, Derek Whitehead. No. How do you pronounce his name, Matt Hanifin? Tosin Evil Bauman one.
I don't know.
Okay.
He's on a two-way, so you don't have to worry about that all that much.
Cameron Johnson.
Cam Johnson's not there.
I know, but they said he's under contract. That's what it says on the NBA site.
He's got traded.
I'm just telling you what it said. So he was under contract. They traded him away. Maxwell Lewis, Noah Clowney, and Nick Claxton. But Claxton isn't there anymore either, right?
No, he's still there.
Okay. Nick Claxton, Noah Clowney. So free agents, Cam Thomas. That's the big one. But they said he's open to signing back, right? I thought I read that recently for like $40 million for
He wants to be back at a certain price. But the problem with them is they have 16 guys, I think, on roster. Not all of these contracts are guaranteed, and so they could still theoretically open up some cap space,
right?
Because they entered the offseason with plenty of cap space, and I want to say they're like short of like $30 million still in cap space, and so like they could theoretically re-sign him to a decent amount. But I just think, to my knowledge, to my understanding, there's a disagreement on the price point for him, because he wants more than they're offering him. Because I don't remember what the exact number was, but he wants like 25-30, and then
right,
I don't think they're...
Do you think he's worth that kind of money?
No,
I don't think so either. All right, so we got Claxton and Clowney basically as their two NBA experience guys, because he's not guaranteed to be back. Cam Thomas. Too many Cams on one team. Keon Johnson. Terrence Mann. Michael Porter Jr. That's not a good... The team doesn't... It's not going to be a good team.
Nope.
It's not going to be a good team.
Jordy did a great job last year, and he superseded pretty much every expectation that I had for him.
Right.
With last year's roster, he could still make... He can still make fried chicken with chicken you know what, but at the same time, I don't know,
Matt, dude. I'm looking at this roster and I'm like, what?
Well, he did it again. He did it last year with...
So who's your starting point guard? Is it Domann?
Flip a coin, see who it is.
Is it Domann? Is it Saraf? Is it Terore? It's got to be one of them. They don't have anybody else.
No.
So a rookie point guard? Point guard's the hardest position to transition into in the NBA.
It would have to be some combination, like their starting lineup. It'd be some combination of Troyore, Terrence Mann, Michael Porter Jr., Danny Wolf, Claxton.
Well, you have Keon Johnson there too. Michael Porter Jr., sure. Clowney.
Cam Claxton. Thomas, starting point guard. No.
But Cam Thomas isn't guaranteed to be back.
Well, no, I'm just saying it'd be funny because he never passes.
Oh, he never passes. Never met a shot he didn't like, ever.
Yeah,
Michael Porter Jr. will roster, chuck him up there,
this
too.
This roster stinks, but Jordy's a good coach, so who knows?
They'll probably win, be like, tough.
25 games or something, or I don't know.
Yeah, 25 games sounds right. I could see that.
Maybe I'm overselling, or I don't know.
But where do they find playing time for all their draft picks? Who ends up in the G League? Does one of them end up in the G League? Saraf end up in, like,
I was gonna say it's probably one of Saraf or Traore.
I mean, I would be more tempted to play Saraf than I would be Traore. And Domen, actually, but he was picked eighth.
It's just a development thing. I think it'll, like, they want to develop maybe some of these guys. I don't know.
Like, the roster construction's so bizarre. It's so weird.
Drake Powell backing up Michael Porter Jr.
Who's backing up Claxton? Is it Danny Wolfe? They're going to play him at the five and let him handle?
Sure.
Sure.
Sure. Drew Timmy's still there.
Drew Timmy.
Your guy, Noah Clowney's still there. That's
my guy. That's right. Noah Clowney. Every Nets fan watching, you guys know how I feel about Noah Clowney. And it's not good.
They're just short of 20 in cap space. Not.
Let's go over Noah Clowney's numbers, shall we? For his last season in the NBA, 35.8% from the field, 33% from three, 0.7 blocks per game, one turnover per game. Is that good?
I forgot to mention Zaire Williams and De'Ron Sharp are also there.
For what it's worth.
Again, I don't think those signings have been made official because, again, the overabundance of roster spots available. And they're going to have to cut corners somewhere, whether it's via trade. They waive some of these non/partially guaranteed contracts.
Right.
Whatever the case is.
You mean you don't have faith in Derek Whitehead?
Pass.
You know, but look, the big thing I want to point out about this roster construction, I know Sean hates positions, but Noah Clowney's a forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
The name I can't pronounce is basically a forward. Michael Porter Jr. is a forward. Drake Powell's technically a forward. Drew Timmy's a center/forward. Why does Real GM have Nolan Traore listed as a forward?
We talked about that during the draft coverage.
Huh?
I don't know why either, but
Danny Wolfe is a center/guard, but he could also play forward. They have an overabundance of small forwards. Like, there's so many of them.
Well, I mean, I think Porter Jr. he's a 3-4.
Ugh. You got Porter at the four, you're in some trouble. Defensively.
Well, defensively, fine.
Yeah. Offensively, because he's just going to spot up on a 3-point line anyway. Right. That's all he's going to do no matter where he's playing. But yeah, so overall, I'd probably give them a C+ as a grade.
In the draft?
Yeah. Probably a C+.
Ooh. I don't know if I would go that high. I'm a tough grader.
You're a tough grader. That's right.
I was thinking, like, in my head, I was thinking like C-, D+.
I mean, you were acting like we were a gulf apart. Like,
no, I was just surprised. C+. Usually, you're the harder one.
I typically am, but they got such good positional value with Traore and Saraf, and where they got Danny Wolfe.
Yeah.
I think that makes up for them taking Domen at eight.
Just the fit.
Yeah, it's just the fit is so bad. Like, so I think the positional value is what gave them the C+, in my opinion.
That's fine.
More than the overall fit of all the pieces.
That's a reasonable counter. Just for the people out there, I had Saraf at 11, so not 12 or 13. I had Danny Wolfe 19, Nolan Traore 20. I thought I had Wolfe higher. Drake Powell 28, and then who am I missing?
So you said Domen, you said Saraf, you said Wolfe, you're missing Traore.
No. I have Jaeger 23. I didn't say him.
Oh, you didn't say Jaeger. Yeah, he was way down Traore on the list, 20. Folks.
I have Traore 20.
Yeah, he was way down on the list, folks. I mean, I understand he shot the three ball pretty well in summer league. Hopefully that continues, but he's got a lot of other limitations. We talked about ad nauseum on our coverage when we actually did profiles on him. His laugh. What's laugh? Is laugh a word, people? Lack of vertical athleticism is going to be a problem. Lack of burst. That's correct. Just lack of athleticism.
Yeah, just lack of athleticism.
Going to be trouble. He's going to have to get much, much stronger, because that's part of one of the reasons he struggles finishing at the rim. Doesn't have athletical pop, and he doesn't. I said athletical pop. I'm on fire today, just making stuff up. And he isn't strong enough to finish through contact. So that three ball is going to have to be there, man. And he's going to have to make higher level reads. He's a good passer. He has good vision, but I feel like he gets stuck in drill work. And it's like the ball's supposed to go here because this person is here, but he doesn't check it. And then it gets it's a turnover. So I think he's going to have to clean some of that stuff up. I think his handle is going to have to get a lot tighter. But that's enough going down the rabbit hole of Jaeger Dolman. Anything else you got, Matt? And then wrap up today's show.
You saying athletical pop, I don't remember what the context of this was, but I was on Twitter and I said vertical pop and something, and someone like what's vertical pop? Or something. Like someone was like in my mention, like, I've never heard that ever. Like, what is that?
What is that?
Yeah, I don't think I think someone else filled in and explained it to me. I just didn't care enough to say anything.
That's how I am.
I used to be a lot more active in terms of like me tweeting on Twitter. Nowadays, I just kind of like scour the internet.
It's probably for the best, Matt.
Yeah, I don't engage in as much as I used to, for better or worse.
Matt's growing up, people. He is maturing before our eyes.
I just don't care to get in arguments with people online.
That is maturity. Matt.
Whether it's arguments or just discussion in general, I'm just like, ah.
I don't even want to talk to you.
Yeah. In real life, I'm very introverted. I just kind of sit in my corner and just, you know, do my own thing. And if anyone bugs
nothing
me,
wrong with that.
Yeah.
But
I mind my own business.
In this business, we got to promote ourselves. So tell the people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work where you will not answer them.
I was going to say, if you want to find me where I'll never respond to you or whatever the case, no. At NPH_824_ on Twitter. You can find me at hothoops.com, vendettasportsmedia.com, mountainwestconnection.com, as well as playback.tv/5RSN and playback.tv/digitaladelhoops. I say that too fast, and it's just one gigantic tongue twister.
That's right. But you did it, and the people know where to find you. And you can find me at Digital Adele on all social media platforms. Instagram, we're growing that channel. We put out clips after the show on Instagram. That's under Digital Adele as well, but it's a little bit different. It's Digital_Adele, kind of like Matt Hanifin's at, except for less underscores. But that's it for today's show. We'll see you next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.